Chapter 35. By the time they reached the dam, the rain had slowed to a drizzle. Lucy had Seth turn off all the lights, interior and exterior, before they got out. She circled around to the rear of the car, opened the trunk, and retrieved a short tire iron. "What's that for?" Seth asked, leaning against the car. He was moving more slowly and unsteadily than she was. He said there was a lock on the gate.
He thought of everything, didn't he?
"Are you okay?" she asked. He pushed up the car, a strange smile shining through the dim light.
"Yeah, I'm going to be a father. Hell, maybe I already am."
She couldn't argue with that perspective on things. Lord knew it was the thought of her own family that had gotten her through worse situations. At least they were safe. They linked arms and hauled each other up the slope to the gate at the end of the dam. The spillways were open, rushing water pouring through, echoing through the gorge and leaving the ground with the slightest tremor. Lucy didn't like it. She had a hard enough time making sure her bad foot was planted firmly as it was. She handed Seth her mag light, and he needed both hands to steady it while she dealt with the padlock. She didn't bother trying to unlock it. The hasp was thick and sturdy, unlike the cheap chain link that held it in place, and snapped with judicious leverage from the tire iron.
"You going to be able to fire that gun?" "Got 6 bullets. Only need one to do the job."
His tone was nonchalant and his posture open, as if he'd left all worries far behind. "Okay, then." She hauled the chain link gate open, and they stepped onto the dam. It was only about 8 feet across here at the top, the walkway interrupted by several hoists positioned to manually raise the floodgates if necessary.
"Stop there," a man's voice came from in front of them. "Inside the gate, there's a radio."
Seth waved the light around until it fell on a small Motorola walkie-talkie. Lucy retrieved the unit and clicked it on.
"We're here. Let me see Taylor."
"Did you really think we'd be making the exchange here, out in the open, where your snipers can watch and wait?"
"There's an access hatch below the first hoist. Open it and climb down to the catwalk. Taylor's waiting."
Lucy wasn't too surprised by the change in venue. Like she told Hambly earlier, Daddy thrived on control. But that meant she had a greater weapon, chaos. In the form of a dying man with nothing to live for and everything to die for. Chaos, as in an FBI agent who, tonight, had seen her career go up in flames. Literally. Chaos, as in the other items she'd taken from Taylor's trunk. 2 roadside flares. 1 for her, and 1 for Seth.
"What's her name?"
Megan asked June as Walden drove them down the mountain in the ambulance. She marveled at the small creature suckling at June's breast, eager for her first meal. A surge of pride washed through Megan. June did most of the work, and her father and Oshiro helped. But she'd just delivered a baby.
"I don't know. I was so scared I wouldn't even get to see her that I couldn't think of a name. It felt like tempting fate."
Sounded like something her mother would say.
"Your birthday is in June?"
"I don't know when my birthday is," June said. "But the day I was born was in June. The day they found me, saved me. Not that I understood that then." She shifted her weight, and the baby made a cooing, sucking noise that made Megan smile and yet feel close to tears.
"March.
Not such a good name. Not for a fighter like her."
"Julia?"
Megan suggested. "Like Julius Caesar?
Beware the Ides of March?
Isn't that when they killed him?" They hadn't gotten that far yet in English class.
"Oh, guess not then. How about Lucille? After your mother?
I would have never lived this long. Wouldn't have her without your mom."
"Lucy isn't short for Lucille. Her real name is Lucia. She hates it."
Their eyes met, and both of them laughed, the noise swirling through the ambulance and chasing the shadows and fears away. Megan had the sudden feeling that someone was resting their hand on her shoulder, giving her an encouraging squeeze. "Your grandmother, then?" June asked. "She must have been a very special lady to have raised your mom alone, to make such a wonderful home. What was her name?" Megan smiled, not at the request, but at the warm memories that flowed through her. She touched her hand to her shoulder, could swear she felt another hand slip away, followed by the brush of lips against the top of her head. Her name was Coletta, and I think she'd like that very much.